thank you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I will not speak too fast. I want everyone to understand every word. Whether you're French speaking or Zulu speaking or any language, I want you to understand every word that is going to be said. For me, it's a last service on this trip, and God has blessed. Can you hear me well? All can hear me well. So I appreciate the arrangement that was done for all these meetings, and may God bless Father Thomas Hilton and all the brothers who are cooperating to make even this gathering possible. As we understand, beloved brothers and sisters, we do experience the last phase that God ordained for His people before the return of Christ. And as especially the two songs were being sang, the one about the blood and the other about love. If you go to the beginning, after the fall, the Lord God had the sheepskin. And before you can have the sheepskin, you must kill the lamb to cover Adam and to cover Eve. And from the very, very beginning, the blood spoke of redemption. Even in the time of Moses, when God made the promise to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 13, after 400 years, I will bring the people out of the Egyptian slavery. Maybe everyone had forgotten, but God remembered His promise. And when the time came, the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush, commissioning Moses. And the Lord said, "You go, and I will go with you." And so the 40 years, the pillar of fire led the children of Israel by day and by night. And Moses was the ordained prophet of Almighty God. But please understand, the deliverance did not take place when all the great signs and wonders happened, the first, the second, third, fourth, nine, ten. The deliverance took place when every household killed a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. And the Lord said, "When I see the blood, not when I see the signs and wonders, when I see the blood, that's it." So we must be under the blood. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And just for your information, the blood is still on the mercy seat. And the blood will we on the mercy seat as long as the time of grace is with us. Only when the last one is going to be called, then the Lord Himself will descend, as the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord Himself then will descend, and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive shall be changed, and together we shall be taken up in the clouds. Plural, clouds. Our Lord was taken up in a cloud. The two prophets of Revelation 11 will be taken up in a cloud. But because the bride will be from all nations, from all tribes, from every country on earth, and then we come together and meet the Lord in the air. Everything pertaining to the plan of salvation is connected to reality. And our Savior is the best example. His birth was a reality. His life was a reality. His ministry was a reality. His suffering was a reality. His death was a reality. Even His going down to hell to conquer death and hell, and to raise on the third day all reality. Then to spend 40 days with the disciples, and then before their eyes He was taken to glory. Luke 24 verse 50 and 51, and Acts chapter 1 from verse 9 to 11 give the precise account where it happened and how it happened. So the return of Christ would be a reality. The fulfillment of Bible prophecies at the first coming of Christ proves that God is only in reality. No interpretation, because the scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that no Bible prophecy is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spoke as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, a few things must be said, and I want you to understand everything the right way. The second thought was love. And our Lord said, if we have love one for the other, even the world, the unbelievers will come to believe, because love cannot be imitated. Love is real. Love is real. Love is not a show. Love is reality. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Love must be manifested also in the believers. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, if we would know all the mysteries but not have love, not have love, were nothing. Love is the strongest power, and the love of God must be in our hearts. And in reference to the message, beloved, I read, I think in one or the two places on this trip, from Acts chapter 22, just to refer to the two main experiences Brother Branham had. As you know, he was called from his mother's womb 2 hours after his birth. The pillar of fire came into the room, and the mother and the ladies that were in the room saw with their own eyes that pillar of fire. And they were talking to one another and saying, what would be with this child? But God knew, and you know, a prophet is ordained of God, like Jeremiah in chapter 1. Before he saw this word, God ordained him to be a prophet to the nations. So divine callings, which are connected to the plan of salvation, they are in God's hands, not in your hands, not in my hands. They are in God's hand. So we understand, and let me read this to you from Acts chapter 22, verse 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. I love this report, and I tell you why. Here we have the calling of the Apostle Paul on his way to Damascus. And when I preached in Damascus, the brethren said, we're going to take you to the road where Saul came towards Damascus. I said, beloved brothers, you don't need to do that. I met the Lord. I heard his voice, and he called me to the ministry. Here is something very special. On June the 11th, 1933, when Brother Branham had come out of the Baptist Church, he was a ordained minister by Dr. Roy Davis in the Missionary Baptist Church. And when he came out from that church, he had his first tent meetings. And after these meetings, he took those who were ready to be baptized to the Ohio River. And about 4,000 joined in that baptismal service, but about 300 were to be baptized. And when Brother Branham was about to baptize the 17th person, he heard the voice say, look up. And the second time, look up. And when he looked up, there was that bright, shining light, the pillar of fire. Everybody that was present on that June the 11th, 1933, at about 2 p.m., saw that supernatural light with their own eyes. But the voice was not addressed to 4,000. The voice was addressed to the man of God. To the man of God. So when I read this, I was reminded of April 1966, when the son of Brother Branham, Billy Paul, looked over the congregation in the tabernacle and was asking if there are some brothers and sisters who were present in June 1933. And I counted between 10 and 12 stood to their feet in April 1966 in the Brenham Tabernacle in Jefferson. So what I'm trying to say is this. God has given promises. And one of the promises is I, not Malachi speaking, the Lord God speaking. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And by the way, about the day of the Lord, you must read Isaiah chapter 13 from verse 6. You must read Joel 2. You must read the different prophets, what is said about the day of the Lord. You must read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. You must read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. You must read every scripture pertaining to that subject. And as the Apostle Peter, on the day of when it was revealed to him who Jesus Christ is, our Lord said, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. What is a key for? To unlock, so your access, every true man of God, will have to have the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you have the revelation, the very and true revelation of Jesus Christ, you know what revelation means. Maybe I quickly show you. The word apocalypse is like this. If something is hid, you don't know what it is. You have absolutely no idea what is behind this. The word apocalypse means to unveil, to unveil, to take the way away so that you say, and brothers and sisters, we know the Lord by divine revelation because of a personal experience we had with Him. We don't only say what others said, but we must have, everyone must have their own experience with the Lord. Quickly, a few thoughts from the Word of God about the promise for this day. And please, let me say this very strict and very straight. If you cannot believe what God said in His Word, I'm sorry, God will not even talk to you. Why should God talk to you if you don't believe what He says? Why should I speak to you if you don't believe? No. We must believe first. Amen. And then it's revealed unto us. Many wish to have the revelation first. And then they wish to believe. No. You hear the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. And the Word of God is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. So, the promise that God would send a prophet like Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And brothers and sisters, sit still in your seat. The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, in his first sermon, referred to the day of the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 20. And that's why I say the first sermon and the last sermon must be the same. God, at the very beginning, at the first day, when the New Testament church was established by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, here we have what the Apostle Peter referred to in the prophet Joel. Verse 20 in Acts chapter 2. The sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord would come. So, in the first sermon, the apostle preached what I had to preach in the last sermon. In the same way, as he preached baptism, as he preached repentance, as he preached that he shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everything that was preached in the first sermon must be preached in the last sermon. We must come back to the Word of God. Away from all interpretations. In Joel chapter 2, the Lord speaks about the restoration time which would come before the Lord returns. And then the statement is being made. Here, I read just to you from chapter 2, verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts and all these have eaten up. I will restore, says the Lord. And already in verse 23, be glad, then ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will give you the former and the latter rain in the due season, in the right months.
Amen.
So God is watching over his own words, wherein he made the promises. And here, in verse 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. If you go to Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, in the sixth seal, the day of the Lord is introduced. And sun turns into darkness, and the moon turns into blood. In this Bible, you have the whole plan of salvation right to the very end. And in Acts chapter 3, from verse 17, our Lord spoke through the inspiration he gave to Peter that the time of restoration, the time of restitution of all things would come. And then read verse 21. Christ remains in heaven until the times of restitution of all things come. The harmony of Old and New Testament is so marvelous. It's overwhelming. And the Holy Spirit is the same, revealing the whole counsel of God. Beloved brothers and sisters, such a time has never been on earth as right now. In every way, even in the bad things, the falling away, Sodom and Gomorrah, it has never been like this on earth before. But at the same time, for the church, for the bride of Christ, there has never been a time like this. This is the greatest time in the history of mankind. This is the greatest time in the history of the New Testament church. Because everything comes to a climax, and we all understand by the Word of God that Bible prophecies are being fulfilled, Bible predictions are being fulfilled all over the earth, especially with Israel. When you see the fig tree coming back to life again, then look up, for your redemption is drawing near. Luke 21, and in Matthew chapter 24, in Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21, three times it is recorded that our Lord said, when you see all these things come to pass, then you know it's near, it's at the door, it's at the door. Today, when we came here, maybe we drove 5 kilometers, but the moment we arrived here, we just had to enter in. So our Lord wants us to know it's not far away. Nobody knows the day or the hour. It's not necessary. If you are ready, that is the main thing. To be ready. When it comes to the day of tomorrow, we must be ready. And there is another scripture, Matthew 25. And please remember, every time our Lord is spoken of, let's say, a son of God, son of man, son of David, son of Abraham, every time it is in a direct connection to the plan of salvation. A son of man, he was a prophet. A son of God, he is a savior. A son of David, he is a king. A son of Abraham, Matthew 1:1. He is the heir of all things, and we are heirs with him. So all these things have their place. But Matthew 25 has a very special place for the bride, for the bride church. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Not son of man in that connection. No. Every title, every term has its place. Son of man, son of God. Even Luke 17:30. When the son of man will be revealed. But here, it's very special.
Amen.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Amen.
Go ye out to meet him. And then verse 10, they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was closed. Beloved brothers and sisters, let's say it very straight before God. This is the last call.
Amen.
This is the message of the hour.
Amen.
But the message of the hour will only be heard by those who are part of the bride. Who are part of the bride. Behold, the bridegroom comes, going out to meet him. Not to judge, but all denominations, all churches will walk on in their own traditional ways. But the bride of Christ is being called out. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14 right to the end. Ye, my people, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, then I will receive you. So we understand very, very clearly in the same way when the Apostle Paul was called, and those who were around him saw the light, but the voice spoke to him only. I will send you to the people of Israel, and I will send you to the nations. The word sent is very important. A man sent from God with the message of God to the people of God at the end of the time of grace, before sun turns into darkness, before moon turns into blood, before the stars fell from heaven, God watched over his word, kept his promise, and sent his prophets. As I said, I saw people who were present in June 1933. I knew Brother Branham for 10 years. After I met him in Germany, I was in the USA. I ate with him at the same table, drove with him in the same car. And in 1958, the Lord opened my understanding to know that this man is not only a special man with a direct, overwhelming, infallible ministry, but I came to know that he is a promised prophet. And beloved, please take this into your hearts. There are three important things. The children of promise, the word of promise, and the spirit of promise. Isaac was a promised son. John the Baptist was a promised prophet. Isaiah 40, verse 3, Malachi 3, verse 1. And when the time was fulfilled that this promise would become a reality, the angel Gabriel came down from heaven, stood at the right hand of the altar, speaking to Zacharias, giving the promise about the birth of John the Baptist. He shall go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A man of God does not establish the relation between congregation and him. A man of God establishes the relation between God and the people. Between God and the people. So, John the Baptist prepared the way. He did not blow his own trumpet. No, he prepared the way of the Lord. Not his way, the way of the Lord. This is what William Branham did. He did not prepare his own way. He prepared the way of the Lord. He had a restored ministry, a message of restoration, and this is God's time of calling out, of restoring. It's our time of preparation for the return of Christ. So, on June the 11th, 1933, from that supernatural light, the Lord said these words. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent with the message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. Beloved, I have to be very serious about this. If you cannot believe what God promised in His Word, if you cannot believe this supernatural confirmation, if you cannot believe, how can you say you are a believer? The true believers believe every word of God. And the true believers have found in whatever God is doing. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent with the message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. This message, after Brother Branham's departure to glory, was taken to the ends of the world. And because the Lord God had called me on April the 2nd, 1962, this will be hard for you to understand or to believe, but I don't come from Texas. I'm not a storyteller. I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm in the kingdom of God precisely 60 years. 60 years. I'm in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God. So, beloved, when the Lord called me with a tremendous, audible, all-penetrating voice, in my mother tongue, which is the German language, and say, my servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. And because the voice came from up from the right, with one blow, I was flat on the carpet from the impact of that voice. And to let you know the other part of what the Lord also said, when I finally could stand to my feet, my knees were just moving like this. But I looked again in the same direction to the window, and I said, dear Lord, they will not hear me. They got all things in plenty. They are not ready to listen. I had just finished saying these words when the Lord spoke the second time. My servant, the time will come when they will hear you. Story in truth, for a great famine is coming. Then thou shalt stand amidst the people and give out these words that just as true as every word in this book. And Brother William Branham, God's servant and prophet, repeated in the English language what the Lord has spoken to me in the German language on December 3rd, 1962. And then he gave the explanation and said, Brother Frank, you misunderstood. You thought there would be a natural famine, and you put natural groceries in store. If you know our history, in 1961, the Berlin Wall was built, Russian tanks on one side of the Brandenburg Gate, and American tanks on the other side, and that was a time when John F. Kennedy was still in office, and he said, we should make an example out of Berlin. And we didn't know what would come next. So from August 61 to April 62, under the impression that something might happen to our nation at any time. And then Brother Brennan, God's prophet, said, Brother Brennan, the food you put in store is the promised word for this day. Just explaining the message and the promised word for this day. And then he made the statement, it's kept on the servants which are being taped. The word taped came from such statements. You can never forget. You can never forget. And finally, Brother Brandon said, Brother Frank, wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the fruit. So all the sermons that he preached in the USA were sent to me. The last sermon he preached was on December 12th, 1965, and I received it. And then on December the 24th, he was taken to glory. But one more thought. I was at the funeral service in April 66. I wept and wept and wept because I could not understand how the Lord could take his servant and prophet without the bride being ready. And then at the evening of that same day, in April 66, when I came home from the funeral, this time not a voice, but it spoke in my heart, now your time has come to take the message from country to country, to preach and share the word of God from city to city. Brother Brennan, in his lifetime, made 7 international trips, and he visited 12 different countries with his evangelistic ministry, and especially with the divine gift that no prophet ever had, just our Lord and Savior. That he saw vision, he saw a vision for the person that he would pray for, and not speaking a word of the German language, he could say, "Sister, you're not from this city. You come from Hamburg. You work as a nurse in a hospital. I see. You went to your room on midday so-and-so, opened the window, which was towards the park, and you prayed." Person after person, the Lord showed him a vision. And the healing took place right then and there. The blind received their sight right there on the platform. It was such a confirmation. And because of this special ministry, this was the infallible ministry, as I said, our Lord had. When he said in John chapter 1, "Before Philip called you, I've seen you under the tree." When he said to Simon, "Thy name is Simon, thy father's name is Jonas." When he said to the woman at the well, "Five husbands you had, the one you have now is not your husband. We know when the Messiah comes, but who are you?" And our Lord said, "I'm he that speaketh to you." And the woman ran into the city and said, "Come and see if this is not the Messiah." The Lord would say to the disciples, "Go and get the ass and the foal, bring it to me, so that Zechariah 9 verse 9 can be fulfilled." He would tell the disciples, "Go into the village, there is a man carrying the water, tell him, in your house the master will have the Passover." It was a prophetic ministry, because through Moses, God had said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, "The Lord your God will raise a prophet from among you." And here our Lord had to have this prophetic ministry. And then Brother Branham made the statement that in the time of Christ, this gift, this special ministry, was to the Jews and the Samaritans, but not to the Gentiles. And then he said, "Now it is a last sign for the Gentiles to know that our end has come." So, beloved, because I know these things personally, I'm an eyewitness, I'm an ear witness, I can say like John could say, what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard from the word of life, that we share with you. And even the Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, could say, "We heard this voice when we were with him on the holy mountain." Did you ever read this? In 2 Peter chapter 1, here it says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Verse 17 and verse 18. "And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain." The addressing wasn't to the Lord, but Peter, James, and John were also there. And the Apostle Peter says here, "This voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him on the holy mountain." My beloved brothers and sisters, we're still in Bible days. And just to let you know that this is God's time for God's people to come out from all things that are not in agreement with the Word of God. Amen. We must come back to the beginning. Amen. And to make it sure that you understand, in Matthew 17, when this great experience happened, and the voice came, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I were pleased. When they came down from the mountain, the disciples were asking our Lord in verse 10, why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? And in verse 11, our Lord said, truly, Elijah shall first come and restore all things. Restore all things. When John the Baptist is spoken of, it's always prepare, prepare, prepare. Whether it's in Isaiah 40 verse 3, Malachi 3 verse 1, Matthew 11 verse 10, Mark chapter 1 verse 2 and 3, prepare, prepare, prepare. But when the ministry is spoken of that happens in our day, the word restore is being used. The New Testament church must be restored to God's cross and eternal dominion. This is all the way. Do you think the Lord will take such a confusion as we have now to glory? That's impossible. At the beginning, all the believers were one heart and one soul. One heart and one soul. And then the Holy Spirit fell. And the New Testament church came into existence. In the same way, beloved brothers and sisters, we all must deny ourselves. And I now address my ministry right now. First, you must rejoice if the Lord uses somebody else. And then you can thank God that He uses a man for His glory, then your time to be used of God has come. Never let any enemy or anything come up in you. There are different ministries, but one Spirit. One Spirit. And we all have to be baptized with one Spirit into the body of Christ. Otherwise, the ministries will not function. They will be according to the head, but not according to the word. So this is God's time in every respect. The same baptism in water, and how many know how the first baptism took place? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And here, another thing, especially also to ministry brethren, our Lord gave the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is recorded in Matthew 28, in Mark 16, in Luke 24, and in John chapter 20. You must take these scriptures together and see why the baptism took place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all who believed obeyed. In Matthew 28, the concern is about the name. God is Father. That's why we pray, our Father who art in heaven. The Son of God we know is Jesus Christ. But Father and Son are not names. What is the name that goes with God who revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? What is the New Testament covenant name? Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. I like to say this in the Hebrew language, Yahweh is the Old Testament covenant name. And if you go to the Hebrew language, the word that we have, Jesus, is Yahshua. Yahweh, Savior. The Lord of the Old Testament is the Lord of the New Testament. The word I am. Before Abraham was, he said, I am. But he was not yet the Word made flesh. He was the Word, but not yet the Word made flesh. But in the New Testament, the Word was made flesh. And the Son of God was born. So, beloved, if you are not yet scripturally baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I beg you, take the next opportunity. And I tell you why. Because only after the Roman Church in the Roman Empire came into existence, the change took place. Up to the day of Constantine, there was never the formula of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost used. Never the sprinkling on the forehead. And in fact, if you read the international church history, it was in the year 337 when Constantine was laying on his deathbed. And then someone said, you need to be baptized, and brought the water and put the water upon the forehead of Constantine. But that's not the baptism. John was in the River Jordan, and Jesus went in the water, and he came out of the water, and he said, the eunuch. And every time the baptism takes place by one immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is the point. Forgive me for saying it, but I must say it. All Protestant churches have taken this teaching in practice with them from the Roman Church. Martin Luther was a great man of God. John Wycliffe was a great man of God. Jan Hus was a great man of God. They were great men. Moody was a great man. There were many, many great men in the past. There were many revivals. There was a John Wesley, a John Smith, a many Zippos. Oh, many, many revivals and many men of God. But they all, and I say this with a broken heart, they all took the same practice with them. The teaching about the Trinity and the Triune Baptism, they took with them. Even in the greatest revival that took place 100 years ago, when the Spirit of God fell, also in Germany, in Mürheim especially, in Kassel, in various places. And in 1953, I met two brothers who were in the first baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1906 and 1909. I don't need to go to Azusa Street to Mr. Abraham. No, I can tell you, there was a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But here is the problem. And I say this with tears in my eyes. I should not mention the great men of the United States, the great evangelists, but I know them personally. I translated for them. I know your men, David Duplessis. I know these great men, and they all remain in the traditional teachings about Trinity, about Triune Baptism. But it was William Branham, God's man of the hour, to restore everything, the teaching and the practice. And he brought forth and said, go back to the scriptures and see how the baptism took place at the beginning. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans, all believers were baptized right until the 3rd century in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you have to come out from every denomination that is wrong in the teaching and wrong in the practice. If you're a child of God, you must come out. If you stay in, you go back to Rome. I don't go back to Rome, I go back to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, the word of God will come forth from Jerusalem, and the doctrine from Mount Zion. The first sermon and the last sermon must be the same. Also, in Mark chapter 9, verse 12, our Lord said again, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Today, if our Lord would be here, he would say, Elijah has already come. He had his ministry and the message of the hour given to him, not to me, and not the prophet. I'm just at least in the kingdom of God, but I'm grateful to the privilege, or for the privilege the Lord has given to me, to be directly connected to Brother Branham's ministry in his lifetime, and of course, after he went to glory, to take the word of God to the ends of the earth. I now look back to these 49 years, and having traveled to 155 countries, alone in the year 2010, I visited 27 countries, just coming and going, sharing the word of God with the nations. And up to this day, we still have GD ministries in New Zealand, in Australia, in Canada, in USA, in Russia, in South America. We share the precious word of God with as many as possible. And beloved brothers and sisters, this my prayer, my last message. It's not only my impression, but I have to say this again. We're not only in the end time, we're at the end of the end time. When the Jews became a nation on May 14th, 1948, the victory came back to life again. And our Lord said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Here is the final language, and I give to you three scriptures. Psalms 22, verse 13. And his seed shall serve him. His seed, not everybody, his seed shall serve him. Also Psalms 89, verse 29. His seed shall endure forever. Isaiah 53, verse 10. He will see his seed.
Amen.
Beloved, there are two different seeds from the Garden of Eden. And the Lord said, Genesis 3, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed. In Matthew chapter 13, the good soul sows the good seed, which is the Son of Man. And the enemy comes behind when people slept and sowed his seed. But then you go to verse 37 and verse 38. First, the word is the seed. Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. First, the word is the seed. But if you receive the word of God into your soul, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the new life that is in the seed will come up, and you're born again by the Holy Spirit. In the same way as our Lord, as the Word was made flesh, when the promise was given to Mary, and she said, I'm the handmaid, I'm the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me as you say. The moment you receive that promised word, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and the Son of God was born. The moment you receive the promised word of God, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the new life will reign in you. The Jews must return to the promised land, because the two prophets, according to Revelation 11, will not come to Cape Town. They will not go to New York. They will have the ministry in Jerusalem. So the true children of God must be where the promise to them will be fulfilled. And you must be in the promised word for today. And would you have part in what God is doing now? I hope there is no one who would say or think, this man is a German fanatic. No, I'm not. I'm just serious. I'm just serious. And I'm telling you again, you cannot make it in your own ways to heaven. You cannot have your own way. According to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, we're perfected forever in the will of God by Jesus Christ. You must be in the will of God. And you're only in the will of God when you're in the Word of God. So, beloved, let us summarize what we have to say here today. The promised return of our Lord is imminent. We're at the end of the end time. And as we refer to our Lord, since when we see all these things come to pass, all these earthquakes and things that have never been before are happening, and every day there's something in the news, but especially the gathering of the Jews into the homeland from 148 countries. They returned to the promised land, waiting for the Messiah to come. But before he will reveal himself to the Jews, Romans chapter 11, first our Lord will complete the work from the Gentiles. From the Gentiles, he's calling out the people for his name, for his name. And then he will return, as he promised in John chapter 14, I hope to prepare the place, and I will return and take you to be where I am. So this is the most important time in the history of the New Testament church. And beloved brothers and sisters, I hope you understand. I don't preach Paul, I don't preach Moses, I don't preach Elijah, I don't preach William Whitman, but I'm not willing to bypass what God has done in our time. I wish that part in what God is doing right now to the last moment until the bride is called out. And Revelation 19, verse 7 is fulfilled, and his bride has made herself ready. And Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Is the bride saying, come? When does the bride say, come? When she's ready. When she's ready. And now, this is the most important time to prepare, to get ready. It's calling out time, separation time, restoration time. It's God's time for God's people. I do believe that William Brennan was the promised prophet. And how many of you ever heard of him? Did you hear about the ministry of William Brennan? May I see your hands? Yeah, you heard about it. Sure, you heard about it. Amen. So, I'm at home, dear folks, and I will see you in glory. I will see you in glory. Because when I returned in 1966 from the battle, when I started the International Jewish Faith, I made a covenant with the Lord. And one of the words in this covenant was, "Dear Lord, let me share your word in such a way that all who will hear your word through my lips, I will see in glory." Yes, you just need to believe. Believe. And God will do the rest. Revelation will come. Just one more thought about the second coming of Christ. Some believe it has already taken place, but let me read to you the most important scripture in John, in the epistle of John. And I hope you have already the right translation. Here it says in 1 John chapter 4, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Thereby ye know the spirit of truth and the spirit of God." Can you imagine? A man of God, the man of God that was taken on the Isle of Patmos, who then wrote the 22 chapters. And then there was a man who did not want to receive him. Can you imagine? Here it is written in the third letter of John, the third epistle of John, verse 9, "I write unto the church, but Theotrephus, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." Can you imagine? The Apostle John was not received in that church because there was one man claiming to be something. If you have a ministry of God, you will recognize the God ordained ministry in the body of Christ. But history is repeating itself. And here we have one more scripture to read, and that is from the second epistle of John, verse 7. "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh." This is the deceiver and an antichrist. So somebody tells you the Lord has already come in the spiritual realm. Curse that man and go on. The same Jesus that was taken from us will come, and we shall see him as he is, and we shall be changed. It is not going to be a teaching or revelation, it's going to be reality. Don't believe any seven thunders, don't believe anything. Just believe the word of God. Stay by the word of God until we reach the moment of the return of Christ. One more question. How many wish to be ready when the Lord comes? How many believe the word of God? How many will rededicate their lives to the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are three things important: the blood, the word, and the spirit. And these three things go together. Believe in the blood of the Lamb. that was shed on the cross of Calvary to redeem us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world with Himself, placing us back as sons and daughters of God into our original possession. And if you're under the blood, the same life that was in the blood of the Son of God returns, and will be in every son and daughter of God who is redeemed by the blood. The same blood, the same eternal love returns, and then we have everlasting life. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the Bible says in John 16, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all the truth. And God used Brother Branham in a very special way, as He used the Apostle Peter, as He used John, and the various men of God in the past. So He used Brother Branham, not reformation, but restoration. Restoration of all things. The same foundation that was laid by the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, the same foundation by Elijah took the 12 stones, William Branham took the doctrines of the 12 apostles, and the altar of the Lord is rebuilt. The same foundation is there to say, just believe the word of God, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, prepare, get ready, be alert, put things in order in your life, put things in order, ask the Lord, what should I do, what is there as a hindrance in my life, and you will see the Spirit of God will be with you. I repeat, I wish to see you in glory. And I'm going to see you. I'm going to see you in glory. I've seen the right. I close with this, beloved. I close. In January 89, when I died with malaria tropica, at that time I was in Ghana, in Accra. And I got 4 bites in one night by that C5 which carries the malaria. And for Christmas 18, I just came back, but I was very weak in my body. Then on December 31st, I was taken to the hospital, and the doctors just said, too late, too late, too late. And they pushed me into a room where people died. One curtain left and one curtain right. And I knew I was going. And I wanted to say these words, dear Lord, how do I stand in your presence? I was too weak, I could not speak anymore. And the next moment, I was taken out of this body, under the blue sky. And when I looked to my right, I saw a white dressed multitude that I sure could not number. And all were young, all were young, 17, 18. No trace of sickness, no trace of sin, no trace of anything. Change into immortality. And we were going up, not like a rock, just majestically. Going up and going up and going up. And brothers and sisters, what I saw there, the new Jerusalem coming down to receive the light. Friends, from that day, my life has changed again. Our Lord has prepared the place. Don't miss it. Rapture will be a reality. The new Jerusalem is a reality. The marriage supper of the Lamb is a reality. Let us all prepare. Be in the Word of Christ. Be in the Word of Christ. Children of promise, word of promise, spirit of promise. Abraham believed God. Not only in the existence of God, he believed what God promised to him. Do, what is it? About two, how many Christians do we have on this? 2 billion? Little over 2 billion. They might all believe in the existence of God, but that's nothing. It's not enough. Satan believes in trembles. That is what James has written. You must believe what God says. Abraham believed God. You must believe God if you're a true child of faith. May the Lord bless you all. I'd like to pray. Shall we stand and then a word of prayer to you? We search our hearts in the presence of God. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit has spoken to your hearts and given to you divine understanding, divine inspiration to know the grounds for this day, to have heart in what God is doing right now. You understand it's the last call. The message given to this man of God was the forerunner, the second coming of Christ. God took the messenger, but the message remains with us until the last ones are called out. Maybe there are some here in the service who must receive this last call. Should you have never heard about what God has done in our time? So the Lord gave you the privilege to hear about the things which God promised and did and is still doing in our time. What a great time! What a great privilege to live now! And to believe God. To believe the main promise and all the other promises which God made in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. All the promises of God are yea and amen. Through Christ by us. Through Christ by us. The scriptural promises are being fulfilled through us. Because we believe the word of promise. First we carry the word of promise, and then the word of promise carries us into reality. Beloved, believe now. Receive your salvation by the grace of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, be delivered from all inherited doctrines. Be made free by the power of God. Come out from all denominations and come into Christ. Receive the word of God, the message of the hour, the promises for this day. And should there be some here who need healing, believe now. When our Lord and Savior died, he shed his blood, but in his body was beaten, and by his stripes you were healed in the body. Receive your healing by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And for all of you who wish to spend eternity in glory, whoever received the last call, and also the ministry of restoration and calling out, just say yes in your heart, say amen, because you believe, and because you believe, it's going to be done with you. Once more, Matthew 28. I mean, first 20, 25, and then also 28. But first 25. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him. Verse 10, and they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was closed. I want you to be ready. I want you to have your lamps filled, and also the crews with you to refill the lamps, to go from revelation to revelation, by the grace of God, through the power of God. The Lord is in this place. Receive it. Believe it. And be blessed. Be blessed with all the blessings of Almighty God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all say amen. Amen. You say hallelujah. Say, I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
And
so shall it be unto me.
So shall it be unto me.
Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is doing great things right now. Right now. The Holy Spirit is moving. The Word of God is accomplishing what it was sent for. Not the messenger, the Word. The Word accomplishes what God has sent it for. So you receive the Word, and it shall accomplish in you what it was sent for. Even the end of the message, the resurrection, the preparation, the blessings of God rest upon you now and forever. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I wish to thank our brother Dennis for having me for this.